Thank you for listening to the Family Life Podcast. For more great content, visit thefamilylife.org. We hope you are blessed by today's message and will be encouraged to share it with someone you know.
And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and of Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they returned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. It was in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in the second verse, that a calibrating of the compass of our life was asked for. It said this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, it was more than just a petition for a physical response. It was that, but it was asking for more than just that. It was about something deeper, something that existed below the carnal coverings that we are often comfortable with. It was a call to see something in the spirit that was beyond this veil of flesh, to look to Jesus. And it was the description and defining of him that offered the reason for that view of Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. It was written elsewhere where describing him as the beginning and the ending, the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega. Simply stated, it was defining Jesus as the one true constant, the true north on the compass of our life. In other words, looking to him sets all the other things in their proper place and position. The variables of life would still be there, but they would not hold their significance and their sway. For when our eye would be on the constant that Jesus is, the author, the finisher, the course can be constantly corrected, no matter what tries to take our attention from him. For there will always be variables. There will always be some kind of storm, some significant thing that tries to steal from us our peace and our purpose in God. And such was the case for Jehoshaphat and Judah in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. The armies of Moab and the Ammonites positioned themselves against the people of God, the word said. The circumstances seemed almost insurmountable. Fear began to make their footing to feel unstable. And that's always the way that fear tries to make us feel. It tries to make us feel intimidated, insignificant, unstable, out of control. Our once firm footing in faith is found to be slipping. The odds seem against us. Hear this. The enemy surrounds us. Fear consumes us. We hear the reports. We watch the news. We just can't seem to escape it. It's all around us. That was where this king and his people were. So they went back to the one thing. They went back to the one that was constant, and that was God. It says this, and Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. It's unique and by no means a coincidence that the word of God significantly, specifically stated that Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord. Its wording implies that there was a posturing, if you would, a posturing of himself, a determination, a direction that he had set his sight to. And it was needful to be, for there were those that were following his corrected course at this particular place in the word. For the word said that Judah gathered themselves and asked help of the Lord. They came to seek the Lord as well. We have the privilege and yet the responsibility in this consuming and chaotic time to be the ones who set the course, who turn to the one constant that will never change, and that is Jesus. To look to him, not to the fear, not to the things that seem to surround us, but fully and completely knowing that he will forever, in all circumstances, remain faithful. And it can be through our purposed positioning, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the steadfastness of his word, and the authority of the name of Jesus, that others will set themselves toward him as well as we lead them. Now, please understand this. It's often in the silence of God that we struggle the most, when we cannot see how he is working or what he is doing, that our faith is the most tested and it's the most tried. Job revealed this conflict of this fact in himself when he said these words in Job, the 23rd chapter in the 8th and 9th verse. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And I go backward and I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Job searched for God for some word, for some evidence that he was present in his pain, but he could not find him. He searched for him, but he could not perceive what was happening at that moment. But Job did not have the knowledge of the conversation that had taken place between God and Satan in regards to him. He didn't know that God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. None like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears me, one that shuns evil. Job did not know how God felt about him and what God was saying to Satan in regards to him. But still, after saying that he could not see him, he could not find him, still Job said this after admitting that he could not find or feel God. He said this in the 10th and the 11th verse of that same chapter of Job 23. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Like a Job and a Jehoshaphat, there must come that point and place in your life where you put the enemy and his encroachment behind you, and you set your face to look to the one who is for you and not against you. In these inconsistent times where it seems that calamity wants to set the cadence of our spirit and our life, dictating to us how we are to live and how we are to think, you and I must be intentional as to who we are looking to as our hope. It will not happen. Please understand this. It will not happen by accident. It will not come about just because we are good or because we are moral or seemingly deserving of it somehow. It will be a result of us being in tune and intentional about seeking and serving God. Look again at how Jehoshaphat said this in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Listen to the intonation of this. Did you hear his prayer? Oh God. We don't know what to do. Have you ever felt that way? Have you recently felt that way? Have you prayed that prayer? Oh God, I don't know what we're gonna do. Oh God, I don't know where to go. Oh God, I don't know what's gonna happen. The funds are low, the fear is high, our grasp of grace feels weak. Oh God, I don't know what to do. The answer is found in the faith of what he prayed. Oh God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. He was saying, we're not going to look at the armies that are against us. We're not going to trust in man or our means as the answer. We are going to look to you, God. We're going to look to you for the answer in all of this. What is it that you're looking at today? What is it that your faith is fixed on? For there will always be, there's always going to be variables. There's always going to be something that's moving. There will always be an enemy that tries to surround you. But remember, you always have an answer, and his name is Jesus. This is what the book of Romans said in the 8th chapter in the 31st verse. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The words that all Judah stood before the Lord. Let me read it one more time. In 2 Chronicles 20, 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. The families gathered. The fathers, the mothers, the babies, the little ones, all of them. No doubt feeling all the force of the fear coming against them. But instead of living discouraged and defeated, they stood together. With their eyes on the one who held their home and their hope in his hand. Go gather your family. Go get them right now. Pull them close. Stand and remind them who it is that you and they believe in. Jesus. Tell them again what time we are afraid, family, children, mother, father, what time we are afraid, we will trust in him. Say it loud and clear so they'll remember it. God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll always be with us. Just as victory came to that king and his people, victory is in our God and for his people this day. He is for you. God is for you. Hear me. God is for you, not against you. Read it. Read again. Again and again, as many times as it takes to remind yourself that you have a Savior in your life. Read this last scripture with me aloud and claim this word for yourself and those you love this day that are around you. It's found in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and the 11th through the 13th verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. We have hope today. We have an expected end. And his name is Jesus. Pray with me now. Father, I want to thank you so much for your name, that I have hope in it, that we have hope in it, God. We have hope in you. And I thank you, God, that we are not looking to the things that surround us right now, all the calamity and chaos and all the fear that would try to intimidate us, but we stand firm and sure in your word, and we are not soon shaken, for we believe in you. So God, every one of us this day, the ones that are watching this, the ones that are listening, we that are here, we believe in you, Jesus. We look to you. Oh God, hear us. We don't know what to do sometimes, but we know that our life is in your hands, and we hope in you, and we trust in you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.